Found this on Ganarum. Ganamir Ni.
What is it?
Well, it's a performance.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is host David Duncan. With me today is Todd Sean. I don't have my regular co-host Aaron with me, but this is an interview for Star Trek Captain Pike, a new Kickstarter.
Well, thanks for having me, David.
I'm so glad you can be here. And so for those who haven't heard of this Kickstarter yet, could you tell us what this Captain Pike Kickstarter is all about?
It's basically the story, if you watch The Cage with Jeffrey Hunter, it's a story of Christopher Pike when he first takes command of the Enterprise. So you see the whole story of his first mission, and you get to meet all the characters that you never really got to explore in the pilot. For myself and other people I've spoke to about it, there's a huge hole there because people, you know, there's graphic novels and there's comics, and there's so many different things that people explored later, you know, after the series or, you know, but nobody's ever really done anything other than the pilot. And they did the Menagerie, and then they basically took the pilot and they cut it up into some other pieces. But we really didn't see anything different as far as the story of Captain Pike. So I think for myself and all the other Star Trek fans, we really wanted to see more about Pike. We wanted to see his story, and we wanted to see, you know, in the Menagerie we see Kirk, and he actually had some kind of relationship with Spock, with Pike. But really, we never really knew what that was.
Oh, it was definitely a really deep relationship, because Spock betrayed everything to go help Captain Pike and bring him back to the Talosians.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was one of the things that people who watched the show said, wow, it seems like he's almost more dedicated to Pike than Kirk at that point. I mean, I don't know how they felt. I mean, because it was just like, why is, you know, in my mind, when I watched that episode, I said to myself, you know, Spock will die for Kirk and he will not do anything else other than anything for Kirk, you know, because that's like his best friend and the commander of his ship. And he's so loyal to Kirk. And then you see that episode and you're like, wow, he has some kind of relationship with Christopher Pike that I want to see what happened. I want to see how that relationship started and when they first met and why is he willing to lose his career and do all this for Pike. So I think that's something that many of the fans wanted to get explored, you know, and, you know, maybe they were going to explore it in the original series, like in a later season, but, you know, because it was only three seasons, they didn't have a lot of time to go through that. And, you know, Jeffrey Hunter wasn't around as well. So there were a lot of reasons why they couldn't continue that.
Yeah, definitely. With the story of Captain Pike and how that goes, I know on the Kickstarter page, we've got the Captain Pike kind of pilot, and then we've got the encounter at Rigel 7. Like, is the pilot like his early days, and it skips further ahead? Like, is there a big gap between them?
Yeah, well, what happens is the pilot is going to take place when he first takes command of the Enterprise. So you'll see that whole story of him first taking command of the Enterprise. There is a story, because there's a big gap from when he takes command of the Enterprise and goes on some other missions before Encounter at Rigel. So we're aware of that. We know that there's a big gap there, because Encounter at Rigel, he's ready to retire. He's unhappy. He's lost crew members. You know, he's just frustrated at that point. You saw in the episode The Cage where he meets Dr. Boyce comes into his quarters, and he's just, you know, he's very unhappy. So I wanted to see both things. I wanted to see his first mission. I wanted to see the missions he went on. And I wanted to see what really happened at the encounter at Rigel. Why was he ready to retire? He lost crew members, and they explored it in the Menagerie, and they explored it in The Cage with little things here. But I really didn't get a chance to see what that mission was, what happened. So we have figured it out. My co-writer is Walter Doty. He actually wrote a film called Inhale that you could see on Netflix, won a bunch of awards as well. And we sit around and we figured out a way to incorporate it all, incorporate his first mission. If we go on to do a web series, incorporate all the missions, you know, in between Encounter at Rigel, and to actually incorporate the two-hour movie after the pilot Encounter at Rigel. So I don't want to give away any of the details of how the script goes or anything like that. I will tell you it's a really interesting story, and it's something I think the fans will look forward to. And the way I approach it and the way we approach writing for the story of Pike is we want to keep loyal to the original series canon, and we want to keep loyal to a lot of that stuff. Of course, we have the Christopher Pike canon, which is our canon as well, but we're pretty loyal to as far as the way it was in the pilot. You know, we want the people who are watching it to say, hey, you know, I know that character from the pilot, or maybe this character in the pilot didn't have too many lines, but we never got to know who they were. So in our film, you'll get to meet that person, know who they are. People said, well, what about some of these other captains? You have some other captains with some names from the original series. Now, we didn't just do that to say, oh, let's give this guy a name from the original series. We did that because there's a reason for it. And the reason being is that we want to explore who the other captains were in the original series that we never got a chance to see who they were. I mean, you see Captain Tracy. You don't know. We have Jason Tracy, who's not Ron Tracy. You see Captain Tracy. You see some other captains in the original series that might be in one or two episodes here or there, and you see them in command of their ships, and you learn little things about them. But I think that was another thing that people wanted to see. Who are these captains, and how did they? What missions did they go on? And what is their relationship to Pike and to Kirk and Spock and to Starfleet? And what history did they make that we never got a chance to see? So that's stuff that we explore in the pilot as well, and we explore in the whole canon of what we're doing. We not only want to tell Pike's story, but we also want to explore who these other characters are, so that the story itself explores many original series characters.
That sounds really great. Like, I like the idea of seeing the captains, you know, collaborate and work together, because we really mm-hmm. don't see a whole lot of that in Star Trek. Maybe an episode here or there, but you really don't see, like, collaboration between how the captains work together to accomplish things as a team. And kind of going back to what you were saying about, you know, exploring, you know, Captain Pike and everything, I realize from the video Admiral Pike is going to be in it, so Captain Pike's father. So is there going to be kind of like a Battlestar Galactica Adama, you know, kind of like sort of angsty, like distrust of each other? Like,
no, there's nothing as far as like the plot or anything that's going to resemble Battlestar Galactica. So I know that's been a question a lot of the fans had, and I will say the only thing that's close is that the story and the overall look will be darker. The story will be, if you watch The Cage, the pilot, right? Yeah. And you watch that, and you watch the original series, and you see the difference. There is a big difference. I think in The Cage, you've got a feeling of, you know, what is out there. There's the unknown. We don't really know too much about what's out there, even though we've started to explore space. Are we ready to face what's out there? And I'm not talking about like just the regular enemies that you'd see in Star Trek. I'm just talking about space exploration in general. You know, what are we going to encounter? Who are we going to encounter in our travel out here? We don't know. And I think the look of Pike's ship, even the interior of the bridge, it just has a darker feel. It just has a feel like you could sit there and just wonder, you know, is this something that you know, the Federation is ready for? Is this something Starfleet is ready for? Is this something that we can handle if we encounter something that we've never encountered before? So I know for me, when I watch the pilot, it's a bit scarier than some of the other Star Trek episodes, it's, you know,
and much more serious too. Definitely,
yeah, yeah,
definitely.
It's got a more serious tone, and that's something we were looking for. I think it's great. You know, we're going to have some funny moments. We're going to have some moments where there's different things going on. But of course, you know, our thing was we wanted to make it believable, where you're actually on the ship. and the person who's the viewer gets the feeling that he's on the ship or he or she is on the ship, and that there's danger ahead, and we don't know what we're going to encounter. I don't want it to be like, oh, you know, the view screen comes on, and oh, there's a ship that we've seen before, or like, oh, that's expected. I don't want it to be expected. I want it to be like, you know, what are we going to do? And, you know, are we ready for what's out there?
Something brand new, and it's super exciting. If the Kickstarter goes well, and if you get to do a full web series, almost to make it sort of Game of Thronesy, where people die left and right, to see Captain Pike evolve into this bitter man who needs lots of alcohol to cope.
That's true.
Doctor, yes, I need some medicine. Oh yeah, I got a fifth of whiskey here.
Yeah, I mean, we'd love to do that, and you know, as far as all the actors, I mean, the actors involved, you know, they're really into the original series, and they love the series as well. So it's not just a job for them. It's something they really enjoy. They really enjoy the series. And when you mention the Cage to them and Pike, and you mention Captain Kirk, and you mention anything from the original series, they know all about it and they love it. And, you know, they're people just like us, and they love what Gene Roddenberry has done. And all we want to do is honor that, and we want to do something that is different, something incredible, something that fills in the gaps that we never got a chance to see, you know?
Definitely. And speaking of the actors, my co-host actually texted me a question he wanted me to ask you, since he's unable to be here. He's at work right now. He was asking about how awesome is Ray Wise, because he's a huge Twin Peaks fan.
Ray I've worked with Ray on a film before, and I've known him for over 10 years. And I will tell you, he is an incredible human being. I mean, he's not only a great guy on and off, not only, you know, when he's on set, but off set as well. And he has such an incredible acting ability that when you're on set, you know, lots of times some of the actors will get sides and check over the scenes before they shoot their scene. He has such a great ability to memorize the script and know exactly where he is at any moment in time, and go from one scene to the other and not even look at the sides and go, you know, word for word from the script. So I can't say enough about Ray. He's just incredible, great guy, great atmosphere to be around whenever he's there, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. He sounds like a really great person to work with, and that's awesome you've known him for so long. And also, with any of the actors, if they want to talk more about Star Trek Pike or Star Trek in general, you can definitely send them our way, and we will do interviews with them and have them talk more about what they're doing with Star Trek Pike and their past roles, most definitely, too, because
sure.
We'd love to hear their take on their roles they played, because they've... I mean, Robert Picardo.
Yeah, he's in New York right now. See, the biggest problem we have for a lot of the interviews is, you know, when are they going to be here, or when are they going to have time to do it? But we will do it. And I know that I spoke to the cast over the past couple of days, you know, back and forth. And, you know, they're all committed to doing stuff. And they're really actually looking forward to doing a convention. So we really want to get the Kickstarter going and get the funding, and then set up a convention panel with the whole cast, you know.
Oh, that would be awesome. What convention would you be trying to hit, or would it be probably at the like Las Vegas?
Probably be like San Diego Comic Con. I know for Vegas, they really don't want any type of independent thing. It's got to be CBS, you know, franchise. It wouldn't be any fan film independent production. So that would be the problem with the Vegas one. They wouldn't want to, even if they have some of the same actors who are there, because I know a lot of those actors would go to that convention. They're great people, the people who put that on, Creation. But it's just, they have to follow, you know, the rules, and the rules, you know, with CBS is, you know, you can't go to a major convention that's sponsored on Star Trek's website and do a film that's not sponsored by CBS.
I gotcha.
So that's, you know, and, you know, it might change in the future. You know, a lot of people said, you know, maybe in the future things will change there, but right now we respect that. And, you know, we'll do like San Diego Comic-Con and Long Beach and a lot of the conventions that are in the LA area, local to the actors here, you know, because it's a lot easier for them. To come to just, you know, a local con than to fly somewhere.
I would hope that would change, because I mean, you specifically working on this Kickstarter with Captain Pike, and the people doing Star Trek Continues, and the people doing Star Trek Axanar, and the people doing Phase 2, all these people, they're the only people giving life to Star Trek right now. And that's
There's so many fan films out there, and the truth is I love all of them, because I think every film out there gives Star Trek and sci-fi fans and any type of fan a chance to watch something different. And we're not limited by the studios to do certain things, and we're not limited by commercial breaks and things like that. And it just gives you a freedom now that you never had before. People can go online now, and I can look up Star Trek on different fan series that are shot at different locations, and I can just sit there all night and watch all that stuff, and I don't have to be limited. And I think that's a great thing. And I think, you know, you see new media, everything's changing with that. I know, a lot of people, they feel the same way that, you know, before it was just like you had to watch TV or you had to go to the movies. But now you don't. Now you can just, you know, you could sit at home and you could watch Star Trek at home, and it could be an independent production, you know?
Yeah, and these independent productions are really great, and there's a lot of passion, and I love how they're involving a lot of the original cast members, or the original cast members are so passionate about it. They want to be involved, and it's so powerful, and like NBC or CBS is just sitting on this property, and fans are the only ones who seem to really care about it right now.
Yeah. With CBS, things could change as well. I mean, It just depends on pretty much who's running the company at the time. You know, at some point, and that goes for any company, at some point someone will be running it at a time where they're like, you know, we're ignoring all this stuff that is really cool.
Yeah. But I'm glad the fans aren't. I'm so glad that you are not and are taking the time and putting the passion and the drive in to do this.
Yeah, and you got to say,
really great looking thing.
CBS has been so gracious in letting the fans actually do this and put on the uniforms and go on the 60s bridge and actually shoot this stuff and not give us problems like that. So, I mean, to me, that's great. As long as we have the ability to do that and we're able to do that, you know, no one's making any money from it. It's a nonprofit thing. We're just asking for enough money to pay the actors for their time and to pay the people that are there. And that's pretty much it. So, I mean, and that's how all the fan films are going, you know, that everybody just, you know, we want to make something great. We want to make something that we want to go home and see that other Star Trek fans and people who don't even know that much about Star Trek would like as a film, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's part of why we podcast. And it's also thanks for CBS for letting us podcast about the thing we love the most. And this helps us reach new people who may not have heard of Star Trek. I've gotten 3 or 4 people listen to my podcast who haven't really liked Star Trek or never took the time to watch it before. And now they're watching it.
Yeah, or they say Star Trek.
That they are Star Trek and the bald guy. So, with this project, so you're mostly in like pre-production right now, or like
we've planned everything out as far as the budget and the crew and everything like that. So we're ready to go right now, and so we can have a teaser for Thanksgiving that we can show people online a teaser of little pieces of the film, and then we can actually have the trailer by Christmas. Because the whole film would be shot by then. So we'd be able to make a teaser and a trailer at that time. And then it just depends. And then after that, of course, there's a lot of work putting the whole thing together with visual effects and then the composing and looping. And so there's a lot of work in putting a film together. But we would definitely have enough time to do a teaser and a trailer by the holidays, you know, this year. And James Cawley has let us use the studios in Albany. Which was a great thing that came into our Kickstarter. So there are the sets are there. They're ready to go. He has the ability to change out the sets, so the railing on the bridge would be black, you know, and the doors wouldn't be red. They'd be like the grayish silver doors like they had in the cage. And he'd rework a lot of the sets so they'd look like the cage. So he already has the ability to do that. So it'll look like the pilot episode. So we're really looking forward to doing that. And everyone is ready to go. We're ready to start shooting in September and get the film completely in the can and shot by September. But we need the funding. So, I mean, that's the thing, you know. I just want to let people know that, you know, it won't be done unless we get the funding. It's just that simple. So, I mean, you want to share with as many people as you can, donate whatever you can. You know, if you could donate a lot, donate a lot. If you can't, donate a little. Everything helps. But, you know, that will get the film going. And then we'll be able to start shooting right away, so there wouldn't be a delay. We would just start shooting. I've asked James, I said, can we shoot in your place in September? And he's holding the dates for us, and that's all ready to go. So we're just waiting.
Excellent. So guys, check this Kickstarter out. Look it up on the Captain Pike Kickstarter page. They've got lots of information. They got a great video, them talking about the project. They've got the perks and everything. Definitely check this out. I mean, the fans have been so great at supporting Star Trek. Let's keep it going, and let's keep Star Trek alive.
Great. Thank you so much, David.
All right. Thank you so much for taking the time to come speak with me and see where it goes. We'd love to have you on again, maybe once you're in the middle of filming or once you're done, you know, just to talk about that experience.
Definitely. Definitely. We'll definitely keep in touch.
That sounds great. So you have a fantastic day, and thank you for joining us on Synthaholics.
Okay. Thanks, David.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. All our music is provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or follow them on Twitter at warp11. You can find us online at synthaholics.com. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. Our Twitter is @syntholicduo. If you want to follow us individually, you can follow me at David_J_Duncan and Aaron at Blackbird2004. If you liked our podcast, please subscribe to us on iTunes. We can also be found on Stitcher. Please tell your friends about the show. Also, if you could leave us a review and a rating, that would help us out so much. It'll help us learn how to improve so we can reach more of our fellow Trek fans. We'd love to hear your feedback. Live long and prosper. Country boys born and raised at the stars we did gaze. The next morning he left stinking of gin. Well, McCoy, my boy, come mix me a drink. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink. And we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Okay, we're good.
All right, so you can hear me all right?
Yeah. No, I mean, I pretty much want to discuss, you know, the Kickstarter and just putting the thing together. I mean, that's the main thing. You know, to me, it's important that people, you know, if they want to see the film, it's supported by the Kickstarter. And we have a lot of great people involved in the film. So we really want to put it out there and let people know, you know, this is what we're going to be doing, you know, and really... really want to get a lot of backing for the film, and we've got some tremendous support right now. I mean, from day one, from when I first started the Facebook and just the social media for the film, we've been getting some great people and great responses and emails and a lot of support. And also want to take time to thank those people.